prayer. Bill is, and Joanne's going to start another ministry over at Whitefish at the Whitefish Manor. And so that's, praise the Lord, that's good. That's three of them, and there's a lot of them around. If anybody else feels the Lord wants to, we've got another one of them right over here that wants to, and we'll just use our Sunday schools to ministering to other people. But if anybody else feels led, why, we'll go set up another one. And so, amen. So we're doing the Veterans Home and the Beehive and then the one over there. And so, amen. So just keep that in prayer. And okay, in Matthew chapter 1, this is a time that we celebrate birthdays. We have it in here. And this week is Kristen's and Shannon's and Isaac's and Peggy's, and they all had birthdays. And we do that every month. And you say, well, it's not the right time to be celebrating Christ's birthday. Okay. Then how many of you ever had a child and you couldn't celebrate that birthday, so you put it off a week? Don't you ever do that again. No. So today we are going to celebrate Christ's birthday. Amen? And we're going to preach on that. And if you give gifts, why don't you give it to Him? The first gift He wants is your heart. He wants you. Amen? And that's the greatest gift that you can ever give Him. And that's what He came and died for, and is that you would give Him your heart. But it seems Christians make much of death and of the burial and resurrection of Christ and of our Lord, and so we should. I mean, we really should. But His death, burial, and resurrection we'd have never happened without His birth. And as much as emphasis as we put on them others, around here we think that there shouldn't be anything put on His birth. Well, I don't believe that's true, because we need to talk about it. Now, I don't do what you want to do. I'm not going to do what the world does, but I'm going to do what the Bible does. Amen. And I'm going to praise Him for His birth and thank Him for His birth, that He was willing to come as God manifested in the flesh, and loved us so much and loved the world that He would come and be born as of a woman, through a woman, to yield Himself, to lower Himself and to become like the people that He wants to save. Now that's a Savior. And go through all the trials and tribulations and that He went through, just that we might be saved. That's how much He loved us. As men would make much of our birthday, and we do, of our children's, we do that, and because it was a great importance in our lives. And now, I'm sorry, but these one-year-old birthday parties, I just really don't get yet. Now, that's for the parents, okay? No one-year-old, they don't have a clue what's going on. Now, the second one, that's a little different. But that first birthday, yeah. But we make much of them. And because it was great importance to our life. And we go back and we get all the pictures and we go through each birthday. And mamas save all of them. Why, it's important. It was a great importance at that time that happened in our life, and we want other people to celebrate it with us. And so it's precious. And we expect all the loved ones to be just there and rejoice as at each birthday that we do. And to tell the truth, you know, I'll go visit your kids and I wish them happy, but it's not like yours, like you do, because they're your boys. And it was the same way with my kids and everything else. But, you know, we have everything in common if you're a born-again child of God, that His birth should be important to us. And as His body, we need to fellowship about around that and make much of it one day. and say, Lord, thank you for allowing us to worship the day you was born, and thank the Lord for you. And so anyway, that's look at Matthew 1 and verse 1 kind of says the book of the generations of who? Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then skip down to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we need to concentrate and think about that. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on the things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, and that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I love that song, O Emmanuel. That is one of my favorite. Yeah, it's a millennial song, but that is still one of my favorite songs. Which being interpreted is God with us. What a statement. God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now look at Luke chapter 2, if you would. Luke chapter 2, and now we don't talk much about his birth through the year, but we deal with the death and the resurrection, because that's where the performance on the cross actually brought us salvation. But again, should we not thank the Lord God for what he did at his birth? And it is a beautiful story, and we should never make light of it. It is a beautiful story if it's done according to the Bible. And then the Bible version of the story is beautiful, and it's heartwarming, and it's easy to be understood. And so in Luke chapter 2, in verse 10, it says, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. Now, God thought this a very important day. The angels in glory thought this was a very important day. Now, whether we're doing it on the day that happened, we don't know. I doubt it. I don't know if anybody knows the exact day except God. But that day was an important one to the angels and to the host of heaven. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said unto one another, Let us now go into even the Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. Praise God, it come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, and we're going to come back to Luke, but in Mark chapter, go to Mark chapter, back up to Mark chapter 1. Now, in Mark chapter 1, he gives a different account here, kind of. In the book of Mark, Christ shows up, 33-year-old man, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So in Mark chapter 1, and in verse 8, it says, verse 1, verse 8. Yeah, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized with John in Jordan. That's not what, missing it at? Well, let's go ahead and read it. And straightway come out of the water, he saw heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending on him. And there came a voice from him from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So now, go back to Luke chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2, I want, son, you want to read some scripture? Just start reading at Luke 2 and read through, stand up please, and read verse 1 through 14. Now, thank you. Now here's it's given in more detail the account of the birth. And that was from verse 1 to 14. But then from verse 15 to 22 continues his life as a child. Now what you want to understand, that from verse 1 to 14 was he was a babe, okay? Wrapped in swaddling clothes. And now, Jenny, you want to read some scriptures? Okay, if you'll stand up, and I want you to read the rest of the chapter from 15 to 22. Now, what this does, now notice here, that when the three wise men came to him, he was not a babe. He was a child. Because they figure that it took somewhere around 18 months to 2 years for when the shepherds in these foreign countries, remember them shepherds, the wise men, I'm sorry, were in different countries, it could have took them as much as 2 years to start that journey. They saw the light, they saw the star the night he was born. But the simple fact of it is, so the three wise men, and you go back and study, and they were from three different countries, and they met, and then they proceeded their journey. And so starting at verse 15, you see his life from that point there. So Jenny, go ahead if you would please.
Heard and wondered at
And you can stop there. But see there, and so thank you very much. And so, again, it continues his life as a child around the age of 2 years old when the shepherds showed up and to see and to meet their new Savior, the new Savior of mankind. In John, he shows up, if you'll go to John chapter 1, he shows up here as God in the flesh, okay? Now, and again, this is how important his birth is to God. And so in John chapter 1, and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, folks, that's our Savior there. Then look at verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, but to come the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. That's that baby. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Until Jesus Christ, God was born in the flesh, the simple fact of it is there was no grace in the earth. There was no truth. Grace and truth came by him. And it came at his birth. And it's a day that we are to thank God for and praise him for, because without it, and yes, we look at his life and everything, which was an example for us, but that birth was a very, the heavens declared his glory when he was born. So, again, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Listen to this. 1 Timothy, I could quote it, but I'd probably mess it up. 1 Timothy, hang on. 1 Timothy, verse 3 and verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. When? At birth. He was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That was the life of Christ. And you cannot eliminate one of them and think that because the world has messed it up that you're doing God a favor. You can't do that. His birth is as absolutely as important as his death, burial, and resurrection, or the death, burial, and resurrection are as important as the day of his birth. And so we need to understand that. No, we don't have to do it like the world. But I think he wants us to praise him for his day when he was born, to celebrate his birthday. And I know all the stuff from Baptist traditions. I know that. But the point of it is that God came as a babe, as a normal man would come into the world, so that man might be saved. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what he came for as a babe. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He says, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. So I guess my question would be, why would we Christians not want to take a day to celebrate his birthday regardless of how the world acts or reacts to some certain day? I think his birth was more important than my son's birth. I think his birth was more important than my birthday. It was a day that God saw fit for himself to be born of a woman for mankind. A very precious day. And yes, the way that's treated is shameful. But he desires praise and worship. And it is due him. Because Revelation 4 says, for he is worthy of it. Every part of it. From the moment that seed was planted in Mary, and even when John the Baptist was still a baby and recognized in another womb a Savior, flipped. He flipped out. and so it was precious to them. It ought to be precious to us. So how can we really tell or why or what right do we have to even suggest why another Christian or a lost person should observe a certain day? We're good at thanking people and telling people how they are to do it. But that ain't why Christ came. He came that you might have joy and that you might have it more abundantly. Over in Romans 14, and we need one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It still talks about of how we intrude our own personal beliefs on everybody around us. And frankly, I tell you what, I'm ashamed of the way I done for several years about it. The people that I hurt. Well, I knew the Bible. Yeah. And what'd that do? Puff me up. No grace. Romans 14 talks about a lot of different things. And I'm not going to get into it, but it says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we ought to be concerned about. In that same chapter, verse 22 says, has thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Folks, we need to be able to worship our Savior's birth without any lip from somebody else that think they know better than you do. Now, if you're going to follow after the world tradition, I'll let God deal with you about that. But God desires his son's birthday to be praised by his people. And it should be done right. So let us worship him for his birth. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We read that. Let us worship him as our Lord and Savior. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, If any bowels of mercy fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Now that's what Christmas, that's what the birth of Christ are to be about, right there. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's his birth. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also, see, verse 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 couldn't happen without the verses before that. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we need to worship him as Lord and Savior, because he is, if you're saved. And because of his birth, his death, burial, and resurrection, let us worship him as our great high priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And of course, what is his name? The Word of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He could have never passed into the heavens until he came and was born. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is our high priest. We are to worship him as that. But for today, let us worship him for his birthday, the way he would want you and your family to do, with a real love for him and for others. And let him take care of the hearts of everyone else. It's our obligation, it's our duty as Christians to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's our duty as Christians to celebrate his birth the way that he would want you to do it. So, Sonia, if you'd come up and play Silent Night again, and if you would, or I meant Millette, if you want to play, you can. Folks, I hope you spend this time and this week thinking about our Savior and what he's done for us. And you and your family celebrate it the way that God allows you to celebrate it. Amen? With the love for him and the love for others. And sharing that love. It should be a time of peace and joy. It should be. It really should be. Not as the world giveth, but as I give it, the Lord says. And then let the Lord take care of the rest. So, you want to give him a gift? Just give him yourself. Just go ahead. Just let him have you. That's the greatest gift on his birthday that he would want. Amen? Just you. Just the way you are. You say, no, but I got sin in my life. No, he wants you just the way you are. Amen? And he'll take care of what's there if you'll let him. You don't have to beg or put yourself under some strength. Just let him be your Savior. That's what he came for. Amen? Not only Savior for salvation, but Savior for your life. Give him a gift that will put a smile on his face. Sam Gibb is always saying, I'd like to put a smile on the Lord's face today. Today, that just offer yourself to him. Let's just have a time of prayer.